All right, a quick message from our sponsor, which is, of course, HubSpot. Now look, growing a business is tough, and it's tough because a lot of times you have to duct tape a ton of software together to make it work. I've been there, and it's a pain in the butt. You have this thing connecting to that thing, and the two things that are being connected, one of them breaks, or the thing connecting them doesn't work, and it's a mess. You have all these moving parts, and it's just a pain in the butt because you don't know where the single source of truth is. And that's where HubSpot's customer platform comes into play. Finally, you've got this single source of truth where everything is organized and tracked in one place. For example, if you have customers emailing you, they've got really easy ways to see who on your team is replying to which customer, what they're saying, and things like that, and you can track it all in one place. They also have a lot of AI-supported stuff, which means that you can automatically know which type of messaging you need to send to that type of customer. And yes, it sounds natural, like a real person. I actually use it. I use it with my company, Hampton, and it works wonderfully. And when leads come in, you know which channel they came through, you know who's going to follow up with them, and it's all seamless and easy. So if you're interested, it's simple. Go to HubSpot.com and check it out and see how you can use it to grow your business.
I feel like I could rule the world. I know I could be what I want to. I put my all in it like no days off. On the road, let's travel, never looking back. Like,
all right, we live?
Yep.
All right, we have Alex on the pod just for a minute. Alex works with our advertisers and stuff like that. Okay, so Sean, this morning we had like this thing we do, crew review, where we like do a company update. And I got a big shout out because apparently Square loved the ad read.
Okay.
And they gave me all the credit. It said Sam did the best ad read. And I, like, everyone was like congratulating me, and I have a confession. So, by the way, today we had our crowd that was our sponsor today, or if you're just starting the podcast, you'll hear them in like 10 or 15 minutes. So check them out. But in the future, we're going to have Square as an advertiser. Sean did all the reads for it yesterday and I got all the credit. So I just wanted to come clean. I didn't do it. You did.
Wait, so they shouted you out where? The Square shouted you out somewhere?
They like told Alex who, right? What did they say, Alex?
Yeah. So I got an email from them, or from the agency that they work with. And they just said, this is the best ad read we've had ever out of all the podcasts that we've run. So they're super excited about it. And I
excellent.
Think it was just
triple our prices.
I know.
That's all that means.
I think, unfortunately, our internal teams just assumed that Sam recorded it.
I didn't.
That's not the case.
I did not correct
me
anyone.
Me and Sam are one. It doesn't matter who says what.
So, Alex, thank you for I'm sorry I didn't spill the beans earlier, and it wasn't me though.
That's dude. Okay. We'll give Sean a shout out in our next crew review.
Yes, but I wanted to come clean live so everyone could hear the truth.
What is this word you're saying that you guys do, a career view? What is that?
Crew review. Like a we have this. Our whole okay. company is like pirate shipped themed. Like we, so it's like, there's like, I don't know. I said a long time ago that we're a pirate ship and every email that we collect is like a little bit of within our sails. And it kind of like someone ran with it. I don't know who ran with it, but someone
and when you
did.
Get fired, you have to walk the plank.
We should do that. But like, so we have pirate shipped themed meetings. It's just a fun thing. Anyway, Alex, thank you for filling us in. Tell Square and by the way, our crowd that we're happy they sponsored us. And if you're just now listening to this, you're only like 2 minutes into the podcast. When's the advertisement come in? At 10 minutes or 15 minutes?
Somewhere there.
All right. So keep listening to the 15-minute mark and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. You'll hear Sean with his wonderful ad reads.
Great.
All right. Thank you, Alex. You can click X. We appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Okay, Sam, people want to know, where are you in the world now? You're in New York? Is that the latest stop? Brooklyn?
Okay, so as of right now, I am currently sitting in a brownstone that I rented. Where am I? I'm in Cobble Hill. It's like a nice neighborhood in Brooklyn. And I've already been stopped by two or three times. I've only been here since Saturday, of listeners of the podcast. So
that's amazing. They stop you on the street?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, dude, the... I guess I'll tell the story. So the he doesn't know I know this. I hope he's not listening. But the guy, so I went and rented a house a few days ago, and the owner was like, wait, are you Sam Parr from The Hustle and the podcast? I was like, yeah, what's going on, man? How are you? And he's like this baller guy, and I went and Googled him, and it's Tyra Banks' old boyfriend. And I was like, the reason that's important to me is that was like my she was like the number one in my life as a teen. Yeah. So, but anyway, I'm currently in Cobble Hill, Brooklyn. It's pretty cool.
Okay. I like it. Do you like immediately Zillow any house you're in that you rent to be like, how much would this house be to buy?
Yeah. This house that I'm in now. So my budget throughout this whole experience is going to be $4,000 a month.
Okay.
But because I stayed in St. Louis and because I stayed with family for a month, it's like my budget can double for the next month. So for the next couple of months, because then I'm going to move to Texas for a bit, I'm like kind of balling out and spending like $8,000 a month, $10,000 a month. So I'm in these like $5 million single family homes, which is pretty baller in Brooklyn, and it's great.
And does it make you want to live in a baller place, or are you like, oh, you know what? It doesn't actually matter. The, you know, the small place and the big place, they're all kind of the same.
No, so it matters. So the layout matters more than the size. But I think for a couple with me and Sarah, I think 2,000 square feet is like the sweet spot. I don't need anything more because it just gets messy. But what's essential is a front porch. That is like the most fun I've had, is just sitting on the front porch and saying hi to people.
I saw you say that. I was like, don't you need to be like a smoker or something to like, what do you do on the porch?
Well, I have a dog, so we just sit there and I work. But having a front porch,
you're on your laptop.
Having a front porch is awesome. And another thing that's awesome that people like to hear, owning nothing is sick. Dude, it's so fun.
I love how you said that people like to hear, because people love to hear that shit. People love to hear about how minimal you live. They love that.
It's sick, man. So I have two bags of clothes, and then Sarah has a couple bags. I'm going to reduce it to one bag, like a one carry-on. That's really all I need. And then I have a coat, and I'm good to go. But I went and I splurged and got a ton of Lululemon stuff. And I'm like, I can wear that for every occasion.
Right.
But man, it's wonderful not owning anything. I have so much less stress.
Yeah, I agree with you. The one thing that gives me the most stress that I own is a car. And I feel like a car is like probably the worst fucking thing you can buy. Like, you know, and I did the worst way possible. I went with my wife and I wanted to buy a car like that day and get it over with. So we just went to a dealership. We went to four dealerships. We were like, okay, let's test drive BMW, Audi, Porsche, and whatever else. And let's just pick one and let's buy it. And so we just bought a new car off a dealership, which is like the ultimate sucker move. And then we drove it off the lot, lost half its value.
You bought it like brand new?
Yeah. And then, you know, in general, just decided like, I'm going to like, you know, I'm going to not care about this car. So I basically, although I bought a car that was like kind of a nice car, I decided the stress is not worth it. So I just treat it like it's a piece of shit car that I don't have to worry about. Like, I don't care if it gets scuffed.
Didn't you pay $80,000 for it or something?
I did, but I didn't want to double the mistake by then stressing out about an expensive car. So in my mind, I treat it like it's a free car that's not mine. It's my neighbor's car that I could just don't have to worry about it no matter what the situation is. So like the mirror is cracked and I'm like, whatever, who cares? I have no sweat.
That stresses me out. How are your immigrant parents not like kicking your ass about that?
They do. They're just like, this is crazy. Why are you so irresponsible with how you spend money? Because I'll just spend money like crazy. Like I'll order all kinds of shit. I'll buy stuff online. I order food. Like I'll order like $300 of groceries from Whole Foods, and then I'll like DoorDash while it's on its way because I don't want to wait for it. You know, like I'm just like, I want a meal too. And so they just view me as like kind of like a crazy, irrational kid. But they also see like how much money I make, and so they're like, okay, whatever. I guess it's working for you. And so my mom has now like backed off, and my dad has like given up. He's just like, you're ridiculous, and I don't want to be a part of it.
And you've been like this though for years, and you haven't been making money for years, right? I mean, for a long time, you were just like normal. Like,
yeah, but I really stepped it up, and I'm real blatant about it now. Like, I'll buy something, and then it doesn't work, and I'll not return it. I'm like, I don't want to deal with it. And so that, like, you know, so I've definitely like just like taking some liberties now that I wasn't taking 5 years ago. But yeah, I've always been more like, I'd rather learn how to make more money. I'd rather focus on making more money than saving money at any given time of my life. And now I'm just more disrespectful about it towards money.
That's funny. We're not cut from the same cloth at all. I'm not like you at all.
I'll give you a quick trainer story. My trainer, we were talking about this, and he was like, He's like, oh, dude. He's like, on the way over here, I stopped, got food from Chipotle, and I came out and I noticed that I had like a little nick on my car. He's like, and this used to drive me crazy. Like, oh my God, I parked and somebody nicked my car and ran away. And he was like, this would have been like, you didn't just nick my car. Like you nicked my whole fucking life, bro. And like, my whole day is ruined. I'm pissed. I'm like, he's like, I used to have like road rage. If somebody like cut me off or whatever, I'd like follow them down and like, we're going to have a conversation about this. And he's like, you know, now I've basically like gone through this strategy. Like, he's like, I won't let anybody nick my whole life. And so now I think about that whenever like, you know, some shit goes wrong. It's like, okay, I get like 90 seconds to be pissed and then I'm done being pissed.
That's great. I agree with that. But then if you're going to do that, also consider buying a $20,000 used minivan.
Yes, that's for sure. That's the again, I'm not saying my way was smart. I'm saying my way was dumb, but I didn't double down on my mistake. I should have done it smart way. But hey, the good thing is there's this tax law that basically, because I use this car for business. And so I bought I looked at this ahead of time, which is if you buy this car that's like a heavy commercial vehicle over whatever it is, 6,000 pounds, then if it classifies as a commercial vehicle and can pretty much be completely written off for your business. And so, that saved me a lot of money because I had enough write-offs. I had enough income to deduct against.
That let me tell you one more story before we get into it. Is I met up. Did I say this last time? I don't think I did. I met up with Ty Lopez the other day.
You did talk about this.
I did.
He was cool. Yeah, you said you went and grabbed a drink or something like that, and he was cool.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if I brought that up. Anyway, then fine. Sound interesting.
But I feel like there's more interest. Like, you didn't just meet up with Ty Lopez for a couple hours and not have a little nugget to share. So give us a nugget. What happened?
He taught me a lot about hiring because I was like, how do I hire executives? Because like we have a couple friends who do this and they buy companies and they install CEOs. And for some reason, all of our friends who do this dismiss it like, oh, yeah, you just hire
like
someone.
It's easy. And right.
Like, yeah, it's like it's simple, but it's not easy. And he did the same thing. And I was like, dude, you're not. Like, tell me about your interview process. Like, they just like seem very stress free and like, oh, beep, bop, boop, you just do it. Like, and so he taught me about it. And he was, what did he say? He goes, there's three things that he likes to do. One, he does an IQ test. So he wants, for certain roles, you have to be of a certain IQ. Two,
hilarious.
He does trials. Like, everyone gets a trial. Like, he pays them as a consultant and he'll hire multiple people and just throw them in. And so he wants to work with them before he hires them. And three, what's the third one? I wrote it down. Trials, consultants. When he interviews for the one role, he makes sure he asks the exact same questions every single time. And it's a very planned set of questions. It's not like just shooting the shit in the interview.
Right. I do that all the time. I've never like done an interview properly.
So he taught me a lot about that. So that was cool. He was telling me about the Pier 1 and Modell's acquisitions, and it just like sounds like great deals. Assuming what he says is true, which I have no idea. I'm not going to say actually which hotel. It was a nice hotel, so I got to go up and hang out with him. I don't know. It was cool.
Okay, sweet. We'll leave the story at that. You went up to his hotel room. All right, great.
He says that he told me he gets recognized like walking down the street in New York like constantly, to the point of like he has a bodyguard.
Yeah, that's cool. I can imagine that. I by the way, when I say that's cool, I mean that's fucking annoying. That must suck. Okay, so what do we got for ideas? We kind of bullshitted around for a little bit. So what do you want to talk about? What's interesting?
Let's talk about the nurse shoes, because I actually had multiple people talk to me about it.
Yeah, so Jim Huffman, Jim W. Huffman on Twitter, sent us something pretty cool that I liked. So ex-Nike guy decided to come out and make shoes for nurses, and they are good looking. I like them a lot. It's called Bala, B-A-L-A, and they're premium nursing shoes. And so you can see they have like a shit ton of foot support because nurses are like on their feet all day. And that's why a lot of doctors wear these like crazy clog looking things. And same for people in restaurant kitchens and whatnot. But he said he did 750,000 in sales in 5 days launching this campaign. If you go to the website, it's like a pretty sick looking website. I kind of love this idea. I think this is a great idea. I've been pretty into whoever's going to build the brand around medical wear. So I looked at cool looking medical scrubs that are like fitted instead of super loose or have designs on them rather than just being plain blue. And this is like a new, this is a different angle, which is shoes. So what do you think of this idea? I think it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. Was it a Kickstarter or something? Like, can you see the live fails?
I thought when Jim sent it to us, he was saying they did $750,000 in their Kickstarter campaign. But I went to, there's no Kickstarter for it. So I think he meant they launched this YouTube, like this ad campaign, basically. And so there's a YouTube video that he sent over that I guess is how they announced themselves to the world.
So I'm pulling it up now. I think it's awesome. I think it's badass. So there's another company that made scrubs. We talked about them, right?
I think we've talked about them before. What's their name again? Do you remember?
I don't know. Abreu, can you maybe find it? It's a
they're doing well, like $100 million like a year.
Yeah, north of $100 million. So it's a scrubs startup. I don't know if I Google that one. Is it called Figs?
I think it is Figs. Yeah, that's right.
Figs. A great idea. Okay, so I looked at the shoes. They look fine. They look cool enough that I would buy them if I was a nurse.
Right.
I don't know if they're groundbreaking. Probably not, but cool enough. I love this. Okay, so according to Figs, a five-year-old, this is from the Wall Street Journal, Figs is a five-year-old startup that's upending the medical apparel industry with direct-to-consumer scrubs and splashy marketing campaigns. This year is on track to make $100 million in revenue. And that was in 2018. So they probably crushed it this year.
This week's episode is brought to you by Our Crowd. Do you wish you were early in some of the best performing IPOs of 2019 and 2020? With Our Crowd, accredited investors have access to invest directly, easily, and most importantly, early. Our Crowd investors have benefited from Our Crowd companies IPOing like Beyond Meat or being bought by companies like Intel, Nike, Microsoft, and Oracle. What makes Our Crowd different is that they have in-depth due diligence, which includes meeting with management teams, doing comprehensive vetting of the deals that they decide to make as part of the portfolio. And if they've selected a deal, then accredited investors get an opportunity to invest alongside them at the same terms. If you're an accredited investor, you can join Our Crowd for free at OurCrowd.com/thehustle. And you can review the deals. No payment is involved until you decide to participate. So today you can join Our Crowd's investment in Mimic. Mimic explains that their tiny robots allow surgeons to be less invasive and safely perform gynecological surgery so women heal faster and have less scarring. Mimic is a much needed innovation in the rapidly growing multi-billion-dollar robotic surgery market. You can get in early on Mimic and other opportunities at OurCrowd.com/thehustle. If you're interested in investing, you need to join Our Crowd. The Our Crowd account is free. Just go to OurCrowd.com/thehustle.
Love it. I think that's a great move. I think this shoes are a little bit more challenging. I think I had a I went to a holiday party at a shoe company, and they had like a shoe startup. I won't say who it is, but it's a popular one. Popular startup that sold shoes.
Adams.
And I went. I'm not going to say
Alberts.
If I went to their holiday party, I live in San Francisco. That should narrow it down. But I on their board was like the return rate and their metrics. And I think what they would do is take, like, let's say they make $100 in revenue, they would discount it by, I think, 30 to 33%. And then it would say like expected revenue. And I was like, what's that percentage? And they go, that's how much returns we expect. And so
that's super high. Yeah.
It's crazy high. And with shoes are the hardest thing maybe to buy. Probably pants for men and shoes are probably like two of the harder things to sell online. So I think it's a cool thing. He just has to nail the fit, like making sure that it fits exactly.
Shoes hard to sell online? I feel like shoes are easy to sell online because...
No, dude, look at Zappos. Like, shoes are the hardest thing. I mean, there's a lot of different categories and types, which is great, but it's all about sizing. Like, whenever I order shoes, I order a 10.5 and an 11, and I send one back.
Because sizes, like, okay, all clothes need sizes, and I feel like shoes is the one standard size. Whereas like a large for Nike might be a totally different thing for Under Armour, which might be a totally different thing for Lululemon. And whereas like a size 9 shoe is meant to be a certain length, and it's supposed to be more true to the number. So I would have thought the opposite. But okay, who cares about that? I don't know. Fuck it. What's interesting to me is if you go to Figs, these guys are selling these scrubs for $38 to $46. And you're going to buy a bunch, right? Because you need scrubs for every day that you go to work. So once you decide to opt into this like life of better looking scrubs, you're going to probably end up spending, I would guess, something like $500 at Figs. Whereas for Bala, $130 shoes, you're probably not going to buy as many pairs of these as you do your scrubs. So I think that's kind of one natural limit that these guys have on this.
Yeah, I'm looking at Figs right now. Their website's freaking awesome. I mean, it makes you like kind of want to become a nurse.
Yeah, seriously. The homepage, if you go to wearebala.com, have you seen that, like this woman walking out of these doors? Like, I want to walk out of every door like that. This is a great little landing page. You could tell this guy worked at Nike.
Yeah, and Figs is really cool too. So I love this business. Did they raise money or is it just a bootstrap thing?
It's bootstrapped. I kind of reached out to be like, yo, what's the deal? What else is like this? What other markets are like nurses, right? So nurses is like huge workforce plus unique needs. Is there another one that's like this that you could
oil workers? Oil workers.
And it might be like jeans or it might be boots or it might be something like that.
Yeah, oil workers are quite okay. So there's not quite the same. There's 2.8 million nurses in America. There's probably only 500,000 oil workers. But oil workers are interesting because for nurses, the barrier to entry is somewhat high, but it's obviously less than a doctor. Oil workers, the barrier to entry to become an oil worker is definitely like it's. I have to come up with like a ratio of like how many jobs there are multiplied by barrier to entry to get that job multiplied by the income that they pay you. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And like oil workers is like one of those unique ones where it's like you can make 80 to 90 to 100 grand a year without being, you know, 4-year education. So oil workers is interesting. What's another interesting one?
I was thinking restaurant like workers because I remember when I worked in a restaurant, literally the line cook guy was like, yo, you need to get these shoes. Because I was like dying. You're just standing for 16 hours straight and you can't sit down. There's no sitting down in a kitchen. And he's like, oh, he's like, we have these mats on the floor that are these like special mats. And they just used to buy the hospital shit. They're like, yeah, this is for surgeons to stand on. And so we stand on these. And like these shoes, these are like doctor shoes, doctor's clogs. I forgot what they were called. They're like, there's some specific brand. They're like $250 shoes. But he's like, you need these. Otherwise, you can't last in this business.
I agree. That's a great idea. And what I would do with the branding until I saw this, when I saw this nurses thing, I'm like, oh, you can make that cool. Is I would have this like, because restaurant workers are slightly more masculine and slightly more edgy. Like, because like, yep. You know, when you go to a restaurant, after you get done working at a restaurant at 2 a.m., you just want to get fucked up, right? Like with your coworkers.
That's
like,
exactly what they do. Yes.
That's what we would do when I worked at a restaurant. And so I would say restaurant workers are interesting. I would have this Anthony Bourdain-ish
look.
I think that could be cool. That would be a good, great one. What else is interesting? I don't know, but that's a good idea. I'll tell you something a little bit similar. So long story short, this company, Bala, so into it. Go to the website and check it out. I really like that. Another thing that I've been thinking about is, well, there's this company called Rig Up. Do you know Rig Up?
We've talked about it before. I don't know it well, but I just know they crush it. That's the only thing I know about it.
So what they're probably valued at $3 billion. They've raised a lot of money from Andreessen Horowitz, which is a signal, but not necessarily means that it's great. It's kind of to be determined. But I believe they make money by like they have like resources for oil workers. Are you going to the website? Can you tell me what they do? I think it's like they have job listings, but then they also help with payroll, right? What do they do with oil workers?
So I thought they were a marketplace for a job, but it looks like they do a lot. So solutions. So they have, I think they're basically building a network of like vendors, workers, and like hirers or employers that does everything. So it's like, this is a way to hire. This is a way to do safety. This is a way to do like the kind of paperwork of onboarding all these workers. I think it's trying to do all the things.
Yeah. And I love that business. And I was thinking that I would want to do this for nurses, particularly travel nursing. You know what travel nurses are?
No. What is that?
So someone who's in the field is probably going to say I'm butchering it, but there's a hospitals, like small town hospitals or even big cities, like it fluctuates the amount of demand that they have for a nurse. And so travel nurses will go from city to city to city, and you live someplace for a month or 3 months at a time, and you work at that hospital, and they pay you a higher rate because you're like you know, like a mercenary or like a Navy SEAL. You hop in and do your thing, and right. You can bounce. So I think that would be an interesting market to satisfy for with using this Rig Up model. And then the other one is truckers. I was listening to this thing, Planet Money, I think it was, and they were talking about the trucking industry and how truckers are like these companies are begging people to sign up for trucker to work at their company because there's a deficit of truckers, people who want to become truckers, and the turnover rate is like 100% a year.
Right.
So the average person will only work 6 to 12 months because they get treated horribly. So anyway, this whole rig up model, I love this model, and I was thinking, how could I apply this to nurses and the trucking industry?
Right. That's cool. So what else we got? So let me go to a different one. This was kind of cool. So we had talked about in the past how there's a...
Which one are you on?
This one right here. There's a listener for the podcast, this guy named Latana, and he's a pretty like clever guy. He's built a bunch of different things. In fact, this was my only knock on him. I loved his hustle, but then he built like 5 different products. And I was like, wait, are you just not sticking to any of these? He built the church kind of tipping service that he was excited about that I think we talked about on the podcast. He also built the erotic newsletter and advertised it through the porn sites and got that to being like 5K, 6K a month of revenue around his erotic newsletter. So he's doing a bunch of things, but he just posted an update, you know, a few months later. I think we mentioned him 4 or 5 months ago, 3
yeah,
months
I love
ago
him.
Maybe. And he was like, by the way, update, I sold it for 75K and I'm out of the erotic newsletter business and I'm using that to fund my other business.
So I didn't know he sold it. Awesome to him. When he was telling me about this, I was like, dude, fuck your other business. Do this.
Yeah, go for this one. Yeah.
Who did he sell it to?
He said he sold it to some private buyer on MicroAcquire, which is like one of these little marketplaces buying and selling businesses. Yeah.
Good for him.
And so, good for him. I just love the little like super simple success story, right? He heard when we were talking about, because we talked about Novelty or the idea around kind of the softcore porn market for written fiction and whether you go like actually into erotica or you just kind of like get close and it's more like 50 Shades of Grey. So heard that part, heard us talking about newsletters as a simple wedge to start businesses. I don't know if we were the main inspiration for it or whatnot, but
definitely.
But yeah, we will say that we were for sure. And yeah, good for him. I love this. I love this little business.
So this guy, how do you say his name?
I think it's Lotana.
Lotana. He is British, right? He lives in England.
Yeah.
And so he's a black dude who lives in England. So he decided to go after black women, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was for black
women. That was his niche.
Black women. And he got traffic from Pornhub. And I think he was charging $50 a month for this newsletter, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And maybe more. Maybe I forget how much, like a lot of money. And all
he did, one thing he's doing a good job of is he's been working in public. So even when he was like, yo, he heard us talking about the digital tithing apps, or maybe he sent it in and then we talked about it on the podcast. And he's like, I'm going to do this for the UK. There's no great service doing this in the UK. I'm going to build this. And every week he was posting these videos talking about his progress. And so we saw it, like both me and you, I remember commented on these because he does a great job of working in public and getting, you know, energy behind what he's doing.
That's crazy. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to tweet at him.
Shout out to his main company. I think it's called XPO. It's like a marketplace for influencers. So the same
way, Cameo.
I think it's the same way you can buy Facebook ads. You can do like branded deals with influencers. I think that's what he's going for in the UK market.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just Cameo. Like, and Cameo now does this too, where you just pay for a shout out as an influencer rather than like a personal video message. And I think, I don't know if he's differentiated it by the European focus or different set of influencers. I'm not sure, but I saw a bunch of like British rappers on his thing and I don't know. Cool.
That's crazy. He's a young guy, I think, like 24, right?
I have no idea, but I know in some of his videos, his mom was in there or he was like talking to his mom and I don't know. It's hilarious, but God, shout out to him.
That's good, awesome. Stuff. And by the way, if you're listening to this, I think everyone should, not everyone, a few more people should start this. I think that, I genuinely think this could be as big as Crunchy. What's the thing called? Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll, which is like a $1 billion company. I think this could be as big.
Yeah, that's actually just a great point. I don't know if this could be as big or not, but regardless, I think you could literally just restart the same business and build like learn a whole bunch building a hundred thousands of dollars or $1 million business if you just focused on this. Like I think he did it in his super spare time. And he sold it, but like I think somebody else can just do the next one of this and pick the next niche.
Yeah, I'm into that. Let's do a revisit. Let's do the streaming solution.
Okay, so I don't know how long ago now, maybe 6-7 months ago, I talked about this idea, which was, I think there should be an app for company all hands.
Yeah.
And I said this because, you know, when we were, I was trying to export ideas of, or import ideas. So I said, I'm at a big company. What are the things I see? What are the problems I see we have? What would we pay for a solution for? And so I felt that company all hands were this like critical moment that happened every single week. We did a full company all hands, plus each individual department did their own all hands like every month or so. And, oh, sorry.
You really are in the suburbs.
Okay, business idea, better doorbells that play not lame music. Okay, so I was thinking, okay, this is obviously a critical moment, and there's all these things you have to think about, right? Like, you don't want other people logging in, so you need like what they call SSO, the single sign-on service, so only your employees can log in to see it. You need the video stream, you need the recording if you missed it. You need a way to do question and answer. And we were stitching together 4 or 5 tools. We use StreamShark for the video. We use PollEV for the questions. We use this other thing for the SSO. Like, so at that time I was like, I think somebody could build an all hands app, or streaming solution just for this, cause Zoom is not enough. And I think you could charge companies for this. Now, one thing that's changed is, I don't know if you saw this, but there was this big kind of like expose in Verge about the Facebook all hands leaks. Did you see this?
Yeah. Well, I didn't read that, but I know it's a problem and it sucks because you can't be like, why would a CEO ever tell the truth to their...
Exactly. So a few days ago, Casey Newton, I think is his name. He's a writer for The Verge or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's not The Verge. Maybe it's not Casey, but whatever. Fuck it. Somebody wrote an article and they said, hey, for the last year, I have had basically spies inside Facebook sending me recordings of the all hands.
God, that's so stupid.
For the last 6 months. And I'm going to write, you know, kind of an article. And what he did was he wrote an article about the things that were being said with audio snippets from Zuck talking at all hands that this person had recorded, because now all the all hands are done virtually. So people just record on their computer like we're recording this podcast. And it was all about like, oh, Facebook employees want him to be harder on Trump. And here's his response about why he's not going to do it. Or, you know, doesn't Facebook have an obligation to do this? Or like somebody asked a question in the all hands like, can we just buy an island so we can all just go back to work and just make it a bubble, like a bubble island for Facebook? And Zuck's like, well, you know, like, I don't think it would be a great idea for us to just like, you know, isolate ourselves from society. I don't think that would be good in the long run, even if we get back to work. But it, like, taken out of context, all the things he's saying, it's just so easy to paint him as like evil Zuck. So anyways, that just to me highlights even more. All that's going to happen now is that companies are going to dilute their all hands. They're not going to be transparent. They're going to like corporate, you know, PR wash all their answers in the Q&A, and everybody loses. Like, the CEO has to be stressed about it. The employees don't get real answers, and shit's still probably going to leak.
Yeah.
And so I think you need to find the killer feature now for this is leak-proof all hands.
I've researched this a bit, and let me tell you what I would do. But first, a funny story about someone. I used to talk to my friends at Facebook, and Zuck would do an in-person all hands every Friday at like 2:00, and like 50 people or 20 people would show up. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, can you, if you're telling me that I could go talk to John Rockefeller or Andrew Carnegie or something like every Friday, like get your ass to that all hands and ask a question every single week. And then just maybe Zuck will be like, you know, you've been asking a lot of good questions. Talk to me after this. Let's see. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that could happen.
Right.
And apparently, and like, my friend made a joke. Like, it wasn't a joke. He just told me. He's like, yeah, someone today asked why the men's bathroom don't have tampons. And Mark's reply was like, I can answer that question, but like, are you sure this is how you want to spend your time? Like, maybe the head of HR is over there. Maybe you'd like to talk to her directly. But, and so like, people would ask these questions like, why is the line for the pizza too long? And it always like baffled me. I'm like, why are you not there every single week talking to this guy? Anyway, I've thought about this. So Washington Post, when Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post, he came up with this thing called ARC. It was their publishing system, and a lot of publishers have tried to sell their CMS, and it's mostly a fruitless thing to do. It's pretty stupid. No one does it right. It's hard. It's a hard business, yada, yada, yada. Well, they pivoted, and what they're doing is selling to Morgan Stanley and large banks, and they're creating like an internal high school newspaper. So it's like a Morgan Stanley gets like a media or gets like a WordPress that's only for their employees. So like all memos goes on there. all hands would go on there. And I think that's a great idea. And I would model this sort of like a high school newspaper where it makes it easy to like give updates on the whole company very succinctly and easily, where your all hands are almost recorded like a podcast and they're uploaded very easily on. That's what I would do. And I would make it all, I would try to figure out how to make it all very password protected, but I think it's a great idea.
So we talked a little bit about that. I think that's cool. I guess the key thing I'm trying to bring up is, how do you make sure the shit doesn't leak? And the way you do that, so it's password protected, sure, but you know, it's employees who are leaking it. It's not an outside person. So I think what you have to do is you have to unique watermark every single stream. So what the technology is going to do, let's say it's an all hands video, it's piping video to every single stream, but there's a sort of invisible watermark or cryptographic hash or something that if this got shared, you would know who shared it. There's a fingerprint attached to it. And so same thing, you could do the same thing with a memo, which is something that's a digital, it's basically only visible digitally. It's not visible to the human eye, but there's something that if you screenshot this, if you share this, if you record this, we will ultimately know who shared it. Sounds a little Big Brother-y, but I don't know. I'm kind of on the company side here. I think that
totally.
It's kind of bullshit that you can't like communicate freely. Like a few disgruntled people or bad eggs or people who want fame or whatever it is are going to make it so that companies just be like, all right, fuck it. We're just keeping it in the boardroom amongst the five of us. Then you guys get to know nothing. You get to be, you know, worker bees that don't get involved with what's going on at the company.
That's what I would do if I was these guys. I'd be like, look, I've tried to be transparent with everyone, but like, you know, you really screwed up and you actually hurt yourself. If you're an employee who owns shares, like it makes us look stupid and you legitimately are going to lose money by talking about this shit because you make us look dumb because it's all out of context.
Right.
And so fuck y'all. Like, I ain't telling you shit. Like when you hear about stuff, that's when, or when everyone else hears about stuff, that's when you're going to hear about stuff.
Right.
So I agree with you, and I think there is an interesting thing to do, and I have seen bigger companies make their own stuff during quarantine. So there are companies who have this need, and like Airbnb has an internal team building something like this.
Interesting. Building it with the privacy protection, or just like you mean the internal high school newsletter type thing?
I would say that like hacking together like tools to make like all hands
internal comms work,
all hands specifically all hands easier. Yeah,
right. That's a good one. I'm gonna write something down here. You know, it's good when I get an idea during the thing. I'm like, oh, I gotta write this down. Okay, cool. So what else is interesting?
Well, you did most of the heavy lifting this time, so let's just keep going down yours.
Okay, let's pick another one. Okay, so a couple cool little things I've been seeing that to me say,
ooh, okay,
this is where the future's going. So I'm going to talk about Compose.ai and Synthesia. So what are these? These are two different services that are doing the same thing. I've seen now this week, I've seen maybe five or six of these. And I had never heard of this before. And it's almost kind of laughable. So what these are doing is basically using AI to write your messages. So I'll talk about the first one first. So Compose.ai. What Compose.ai is, it says, hey, writing emails is important, but man, it takes time to like write a good email. So here's what you do. You just write, you know, little two-word bullet points. So you'll say like, bullet point, liked the design, bullet point, think we need to just, you know, like, or we need to work on the polish, last one, we should talk to Steve. And it takes those three bullet points and it makes a nicely written email that says, hey, Sam, thanks for sending over the designs. I really liked it. I do think we should talk to Steve about whatever. And it auto-writes the email out of your bullet points. And I thought this was kind of interesting. And
oh my God, I'm looking at this.
You can see some examples on their website. So,
oh, I think dude, this guy who created it, I knew I recognized it. His name's Phil. I think he's in our My First Million group. He's for sure a trend subscriber. His name's Phil. He's a young kid. It looks like a kid. Yeah. I know this. This is badass. But is this?
So this, I think this is something that is awesome and probably exists in the future, given how many people I've seen working on this, but I bet it sucks out of the box. I bet it like doesn't, like you can't actually trust it to write emails. That's kind of my guess. What do you think?
Surely they didn't do the artificial. Is this slapped on top of OpenAI?
It might be. I'm not sure if it's a GPT-3 or whatever thing or not.
Because if they made that seems like incredibly complicated, no?
Maybe, I don't know. Like it's always surprising to me, like as a non-technical person, it's surprising to me, like there's some things I'm like, oh yeah, just make it auto cut out my background. And then people are like, well, that's a bad example. But you know, some people are like, well, that's fucking impossible. You've asked for the impossible. And it's like, then other times they're like, look, we made this thing talk like Obama and you can now make Obama say whatever you want. And it's like, what? How is that possible? It's like, oh yeah, that's actually pretty easy. Just use some open source libraries. And it's like, well, what the fuck's going on? So I'm not technical enough to know what's easy and what's hard.
Yeah, that's kind of weird to me. I think that as an email sending tool, it's only like a toy to me. Like it's only right. Okay. But like, I would love to know what is the technology behind it. That is what is most interesting to me, to be honest.
Right. It's kind of like, if you can do this, wow, what else can this do? So then here's the other one. So this other one's called Synthesia.io. And basically there's 5 thumbnails of like, you know, like generic looking woman, generic looking man, black man, white Asian woman, white man, whatever. And you just pick like who you want your character, who do you want to be your talker? And it's like a real human. It's not like an avatar.
Hold on, I'm pulling all this
and then
up.
You just write like, you just write a script. You're like, you know, My First Million is a great podcast because, you know, they brainstorm ideas and it really gets the wheels turning. And you just push enter. And then this like woman who's a real person will then speak this in their voice with their lips moving. And it looks quite real the way that the demos look, at least.
Oh my gosh, this is awesome.
So this is like, you want to, instead of hiring somebody to do an explainer video for your product or whatever, you just have this like, you know, AI human saying your thing on demand. I thought this was kind of cool. Although when I tried it, it's like, input this, we have to approve it so you're not like abusing it and making this person say racist shit, and then we'll email you a video in 2 days. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of lame, but I understand.
I don't understand. I would say let them do it. That is badass. So when I went to CES a year ago, maybe it was this company, but one of them had this thing where they like had people, they had like life-size screens, and it was a person, like a park ranger, as if it was like at a Yosemite, like explaining, you know, like how you have park rangers who like tell you like, you know, this part of the park is closed, whatever. And it had a park ranger welcoming you to the park and it looked totally real. And they said everyone on here is made up. And that was like the exhibit. And it was amazing. And I thought that was the most impressive thing. So I think this is badass. I think this is totally awesome. Scary and awesome. Have you, Sean, have you played with OpenAI at all?
I don't have access myself, but Furkan and a few friends do, and I've sat with them and they've showed me a bunch of demos of what they're working
on. Okay, so I won't pull mine up because I have access too. It is so sick. It is so scary. Like I'll like say like I'll type like I'll type like a speech. Like I'll type like Donald Trump, or like I'll take quotes from a speech. Like I'll find a New York Times article written about it, and I'll just find some quotes and I'll just put it in there. And then it like writes a speech that Donald Trump would say. Or I'll write like a manifesto, like Hillary Clinton is going to ruin the world. She is evil and women should not be in power. White people are the supreme race. Like I'll write something like that and it creates like a manifesto about like, it's like nuts. It's nuts. And it's like, I mean, of course I did that because like everyone's mind goes to evil. Or one time I wrote, I went and found the lyrics to California Love, a Tupac song. And I just put like the first like stanza of lyrics. Oh, no, I did it with WAP. You know, WAP?
No, what is that?
It stands for wet.
How does that go again?
It stands for wet ass pussy by Cardi B. I took the lyrics of WAP. You've never heard that song, dude? It's the most raunchy song ever. And I put
no, but I hope somebody cuts this part and sends this part to Square.
Oh my god! I took the lyrics of WAP and I put it into the thing, and it auto, and then it like started writing this raunchy rap song about fucking dudes. Anyway, it's That's awesome. Hilarious. It's just amazing. Sorry, we don't have to talk about WAP, but I mean, it's the name of a song. Like I'm not. It's a name of a song, and I'm just telling you what I did.
So what are you doing with it besides, you know, these, you know, experiments?
Two things.
Are you use it.
Two things. So I did this thing where I found famous advertisements, and I wrote an OpenAI. This is a famous advertisement. About Volkswagen, and then I copy and pasted, and then I go, now this is a famous advertisement about Airtable, And it wrote an ad about Airtable that was very similar to that famous Volkswagen ad. Do you know what I mean?
Nice. Was it good?
It was so good. And so I would also do like, here are 10 viral headlines. And
can
I would
you read it or you don't have it pulled up?
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now. Here are, I would say, and I would also say like, here are 10 viral headlines. And I would write the first viral headline that I had the idea for, and then it would make 9 more that was similar to it. But like, then I'd be like, oh, wow, number 8's way better. Okay, so check it out. Here's exactly what I told it.
Great. So same thing as you said. You said, I found a famous Volkswagen ad, told the machine to do it. You put the whole ad in. Great.
And it said, the Volkswagen, I won't read the whole thing, but the Volkswagen missed the boat. The chrome strip on the glove compartment is blemished and must be replaced. Every shock, whatever. And it like says about how the Volkswagen, how what?
It's like about how they look and how they're focused on every little detail. That's kind of what they're trying to say in the ad, right?
Yes. And then I go Airtable. And then I said, now here's a great ad about Airtable. Check it out.
Okay. So all you said, so hold on, go up a little bit.
This is all I said.
All you told them about Airtable, you said, here's a great advertisement about Airtable, colon. Now you fill in the rest. So you didn't even tell it what Airtable is. So it goes, Airtable, a new free service for collaboration on spreadsheets. Accurate. But here's the thing. You're working on a spreadsheet. You need to collaborate with someone on the spreadsheet. That's easy, right? Question mark. Just email it to them. The problem is it's a spreadsheet. So you attach it. But what if you need to change it? You need to send an update. What if they need to update it? You need to send another update. But what if you're both working on it at the same time? You have to send an update every single time. No wonder we hate spreadsheets. That's why we created Airtable. What the fuck is going on? Hold on. It's not over. We took the best of what spreadsheets are good at and combined it with the best of what collaboration tools are good at. And we did it in a way that was so easy, it makes you wonder why you haven't been using spreadsheets for collaboration all along. Airtable is a new free service for collaboration on spreadsheets. What?
Yeah. I had to do many of them.
Airtable must have taken, that must be an actual Airtable ad that they just took off the internet. Is that an actual, if that was created by AI, we're all out of jobs. There's no jobs left.
I have not found it anywhere. Like, this is literally
Oh my God.
This is a copy and paste of what I put into it. Like, it's exactly what I put in.
Dude, you know how when a fight breaks out and somebody's like, world star, that's what somebody needs to start doing for all these fucking OpenAI things that are amazing? It's like, your mind gets blown. My mind is blown right now. Dude, did you not tweet this out and share this? This is crazy.
I didn't want to give it away. I don't know. When I was my mind was definitely blown.
My God. Oh, you look, did a second
like,
one? What is this?
Yeah, it's another
one. Hold on. We have to do this one too. This is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. All right, so is this just you pushed enter again?
Yes.
Or what happened?
I wrote, this is another advertisement for Airtable.
Okay.
And it starts here.
Can I read this one too?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a spreadsheet. What do you want to do with your life? Whatever it is, chances are you're not doing it. Why? The problem is you're stuck in a rut. Okay, this one's a little different. You have this one thing you want to do, and you're getting a little closer to doing it, but then something happens. You have a good idea, but you have no way of recording it. You have a brilliant plan, but you can't organize it in a way that's useful to you. You're losing out. But if you could make a spreadsheet, you'd be on your way to achieving your goals. But you don't have a spreadsheet. You're probably working on a Google spreadsheet, and you don't even have that. You're probably working on a Word document, or worse, a notepad. We think you deserve better. That's why we created Airtable. It's a spreadsheet that you can organize however you want. You can use it for your side hustle or for your startup. You can use it for keeping track of your book club or your Dungeons and Dragons character. You can use it to plan holidays or plan your funeral. You can use it to build your online store, or your tax returns, blah, blah, blah. All right, it does a bunch of these. You can use it to keep track of your money or your emotions. You can use it to create a spreadsheet or to create a spreadsheet about spreadsheets. It's the first and only spreadsheet for the rest of us.
Now you see how it like...
What the fuck?
The cadence, it's like... It doesn't understand like some stuff, like why a funeral, like you don't want to play, like why you don't plan your funeral, but it stole the cadence from the copy that I gave it.
Yeah, this is like a great copywriter who like, you know, is a little too drunk.
Yeah, or like a copywriter who's like English is a second language.
Right. Oh my God.
It's sick, man. Wow. It's sick. Like, and so what I'll do is I'll say like, here are 99 headlines that are about to go viral. And then you could just like, it just makes random stuff and you'd be like, all right, do that one, do that one, do that
Dude,
one.
We need to do, okay, every open to our podcast should be OpenAI written and every ad read should be OpenAI written. Like, we should do nothing else besides this.
They yelled at me. So I tweeted out about it, or I put it in the hustle. Like I like said, like, this was written by OpenAI, and Sam Altman DM'd me and was like, hey, can you please not like tell everyone you're doing this? We're supposed to do it in a certain way. And so that's why, one of the reasons why I haven't done it. He said like there's
I see public things all the time from it.
I don't know. He yelled at me. I mean, he didn't yell at me, but he was like, hey, can you please, you know.
He calmly DM'd me.
Yeah, he figuratively yelled at me. And so I have to figure out how to get around it, like, and play within the rules. But they got pissed at me.
That's interesting, because I've seen tons of people showing demos on Twitter and whatnot. Okay, so we'll figure that out. But
Sam, I have access.
You just blew my mind. I can't. There's no other topics. I'm not doing any other topics for the rest of the show. I'm stopping. I'm going to get some water. I'm going to walk around, and then I'm going to think about how my life just changed.
Yeah, because when I played with that, like, it was crazy. Like, it legitimately, like, it's one of those few. I felt this way when I saw, when I used VR for the first time, and it's nuts. It's like super nuts. When I got done playing with it, I was like, oh, the world's different now. Like, there's going to be a pre OpenAI world and a post OpenAI world. Here,
I know. I just stepped into the post. That's what just happened. I just walked into the post, and now I'm in this other world.
Watch. So, what you want me to write, like, hate speech, or like, I mean, that's what everyone does.
Yeah, okay. Let's not do hate speech. But like, that's where your head went.
Well, I automatically think, like, how's Russia going to use this?
Okay, so Sam's right. He's in the OpenAI, what they call the playground, which is just like a text box where you fill in, you give it a prompt, or you give it a little bit of a premise, and then you can prompt it to like fill in the rest. So he's saying, Sean Puri is a podcast host. He's a great dude, pretty funny, and has a popular podcast called My First Million, a podcast about business ideas. Here's what he told me about starting a business. Can you make it more specific? Like starting, like say what type of business, like starting a newsletter business, or
starting a business that sells scrubs to nurses.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what AI Sean says. I was working as a nurse in a hospital in small town Kansas, and I would always see these nurses with these scrub tops and pants that had their name on them. It looked like a great marketing opportunity. I was sitting on my computer one day, and I had a few extra bucks in my checking account, so I decided to do a Google search for scrub tops. I was like, there has to be a lot of money to be made here. This is awesome. I was able to find a company that was not just scrub tops, but scrubs for the whole hospital. And so I thought, even better. I was like, I can sell scrubs to the whole hospital? That's amazing. It has my like bro idiot cadence down perfect. I started reaching out to different hospitals and clinics in the area. I was able to get the ball rolling. How did you know you were on something?
I get it. It's an interview. So it's interviewing you. It's interviewing you. Oh, cool. So it says, okay.
Okay. How did you know? Oh, yeah. You did that part.
So it says, how did you know you were onto something, Sean?
Well, I went to a seminar where they were talking about the mind of the buyer. If you could figure out what the buyer wants to hear, you can say whatever you want and they'll believe you. So what I did was I put up a website. I used a video on the website, and I told the buyer exactly what they wanted to hear. I said, hey, I can't believe it. I just found a company that makes scrubs and scrubs for the whole hospital. It really loves this. Like,
yeah, so it like copies. Right. You see, it's so anyway, it's pretty interesting. But why, this is like where it gets crazy. Like... If we don't.
Abreu, have you played with this?
No, like Sean's reaction was crazy. I should have recorded mine, because I've always been like the robots, the fear of the robots and AI.
That's overrated.
But I just saw this and it kind of changed me.
All right. Read this line, Sean.
All right. So he goes, Sam just put in, Donald Trump is the best president ever. If we don't elect him again as the president, America is going to die in 4 years. And then OpenAI fills it in. It is the only hope for America. The world is watching. Nice. Great. Great dramatic political speak. America is currently in the midst of a political battle that is seen by the whole world as a proxy war between the liberal democracy and Okay. In the past 20 years, the world has seen the rise in political violence and authoritarianism especially in the form of China and Russia. The rise of China and Russia has been in part due to a lack of a strong American presence in world affairs. That's going to be said at the debate. America's been at war for 225 years. This does not include many smaller conflicts over the past 227 years. Random. So it's, if we don't elect Donald Trump as president, the world will probably end in 4 years. America will be enslaved under this regime. This is why I think the 2020 election is the most important election in American history. Wow. And it warns us this may contain sensitive content, which is true.
Let me try one more thing.
You're going to put a lot.
I think I am limited to 2,000 words.
But that's a lot, right? That's a huge amount. Like, you're probably doing 50 words right now.
This whole text box can only contain 2,000 words. So watch this. Watch this. Here are 99 viral headline ideas. Watch this.
Okay, so he inputs, here's what happened to your favorite 90s TV star, 7 things you didn't know about watermelon, or you won't, parentheses, you won't believe number,
oh, that don't make
number
sense.
8. That's hilarious.
All right.
Number 4. Yep. Okay, so he gave it 2 viral clickbaity headlines. Then it gives us the most shocking discovery of the year. 10 things you didn't know about the world's oldest profession. That would work. A shocking reason why you shouldn't eat at this restaurant. That would work. Here's 3 things you could do with that old cell phone. That would work great. What is another one? The 10 most disturbing sports injuries ever.
10 things you didn't know about beer.
The 5 biggest mistakes you can make when you're falling in love. Viral already. Yep.
It's great, right?
This secret weapon can help you lose 5 pounds. Done. Clicked. Wow, dude. This is so good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
This is so good. Oh, my God. Okay, this might be a boring podcast for people to listen to now because I'm just like, you know, reeling from what you just showed me. But okay, I have to get access to this. This is just like a game changer.
We'll do one last one. Oh, it's not going to be that good.
Okay, this is kind of funny. So you put in, here are 99 ways to make $1 million a year. And it goes, number 1, write a good book. Number 2, write a bad book. Number 3, start a blog. Number 4, start a blog about cats. Number 5, start a blog about hating cats. Number 6, start a blog about hating blogs and cats.
Yeah. I don't...
Okay, it's spinning out of control now.
Yeah, so you can see it's like not there yet, but it's almost there. Like the bones are there.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, incredible to the geniuses at OpenAI who are working on this, you know, props. Props to you. I hope you listen to this. And I hope you give me access tomorrow. I haven't applied yet, but I hope you give me access.
All right. This was a good episode, I think. Thank you, everyone, for listening. By the way, if you happen to make it this far, please leave us a review. I love reading the reviews because that's like how I understand if we're on the right track or not.
Yeah, just call us WAPs in the review.
Have you really not heard that? It's like it's like a cultural phenomenon. It's like
this is like when I discovered thought.
Dude, that's crazy. Like, yeah. You don't know what a WAP is. Sarah's laughing in the background. It's like number 1 on Spotify, dude. It's like the music video, it's like the most raunchy video I've ever heard.
I don't even listen to music. I listen to like old Warren Buffett all hands meeting tapes when I'm free.
Well, I don't know what to say, man. I mean, maybe your wife probably knows what it is, but like this is like what the kids do.
Excellent. Okay. All right, Sam. I'll see you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.